Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Rest assured, you'll get your money's worth. With this show, it has my power and you gotta see the show. It's a dynamo. You gotta see the show. It's rock and roll.
And we're back, and it looks like Seth Kamens has made his appearance. This is the toughest man to get a hold of this week, ladies and gentlemen. The hardest working man on the planet for at least 1 week. Seth Kamens.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
Welcome,
Seven.
Joe.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's been a pretty long week. It's been a long week, but you know what? It's over Wednesday. You'll get it done, and then off to Puerto Rico you go.
Woohoo!
Welcome back to the show that never ends. And today on the show, at 7:15, you will hear Sean in his all infamous glory singing the Maryland Terrapins fight song, which I have practiced, so I know it, and I have taken the time to learn it. I have not memorized it. It's not really all that long, but you will hear that coming up at 7:15. It will be interesting, to say the least. Good afternoon, Mr. Kamens. Long time no speak.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I am alive, contrary to popular belief. A little bit retarded, a little bit slow. But
hey,
except for all of you who are my clients.
That's unusual, right?
A little bit slower, a little bit more retarded than normal.
Okay.
This has been as bad a week as I can ever remember. 16 hours on a Sunday of work is a little bit much, even for me, it's a little bit heavy. But it's almost over. Got a few things to clear up. Need a certain co-host to send back some paperwork. But,
Wait a second. I never got the paperwork.
Oh, I thought I emailed it to you. Okay, I'll take a look.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you about my work. I was just going to ask you that very same question. What about your co-host? I feel like I am being underappreciated in this process.
Yeah, you're just underappreciated in general.
Well, that's certainly true.
But I will email it to you tonight. All is good. It's very similar to other years. But away from the accounting world, I could use a 45-minute break from it. I took a 45-minute break from it yesterday to watch the end of the Masters.
I was just going to talk to you about that.
I thought that was a pretty good segue. To see a 21-year-old dominate in a way that the only two people we've really seen dominate a major in this time period over the last 10, 15 years, Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods, who have been two of the three best golfers of the last 10 years. I mean, he's 20. Jordan Spieth is 21 years old. Jordan Spieth, excuse me. Where does one go from here after you win the Masters wire to wire?
Well, we've seen this before, right? This isn't like a first time. I mean, Adam Scott has won a major at 24. I mean, it's golf is not about the one-time wonder. Golf is about longevity. And yes, he won his Masters, great. And hey, hats off to him. I mean, he played better on one hole than I probably could have played in the entire round. I mean, let's call it spade to spade. His four-round total was probably my one-round total. So, I mean, I don't begin to understand how golf is played because I stink. But at the same time, hey, hats off. Great, great four rounds of golf. And now on to the next major, right? I mean, he's got his green jacket, so he doesn't have to go for that. But he's got a lot more to go. I mean, like you said, 21, just barely old enough to drink.
The drinking days, I remember them so.
They will recommence on Thursday, my friend. They will recommence on Thursday.
So I have heard. So I guess we should probably go back to why you're singing the Maryland theme song. Although I was in the 97th percentile going into the championship game, I did fall to the 89th when Duke beat a gassed Wisconsin team. And it reminds me a little bit of the Duke UNLV in 91, when Christian Laettner expended all that energy. In the championship, they win the game, but he has admitted, he goes, he has never been more tired for a game than he was for the championship against Kansas that year. And that was how I felt watching Sam Decker. Whether it was the bump in the head and he was a concussed and nobody realized it, or he just had nothing. The team, that last 10 minutes, that team had nothing left. And Tyus Jones was, and a guy named Grayson Allen, who said he was not coming out. Had anyone ever heard of Grayson Allen before Monday night?
No, but the fact is, Seth, will his stock ever be higher?
Grayson Allen? I don't know, because I know nothing about him.
Okay,
Tyus Jones' stock will never be higher.
So the reports are, and granted, I'm reading these from Chad Ford. I mean, I don't have firsthand knowledge. But the reports are that if Grayson Allen came out this year, he'd be a first-round pick. So if he's coming out and he's a first-round pick, right, you have to learn from the Harrisons. I mean, I know people say, oh, you should stay in. And look, my team is going to be decimated again by Chris McCullough leaving after a torn ACL. So, I mean, it shocks me for me to say that people must go. But I never had a problem with a first-round pick going. If McCullough gets to the first round, more power to him. I don't think he gets there with the torn ACL. I think he's more of a second-rounder. And then you don't have a guaranteed contract. But if Grayson Allen is going to get a first round guarantee, I say more power to him. Bye bye. Don't you?
Yeah. Oh no! Look, I am not. I am a realist, or I have become a realist. You know, I did not when I was in college. You know, I was, when Chris Wilcox left to join, or a guy who wasn't ready for the NBA, and. You know, I was like, what are you doing? And he ends up being a top 10 pick. Now, he never became the player he could have been, but he probably made $60 million over that lifetime. And, I don't know enough about Grayson Allen. You know, Maryland's not in the ACC. I don't watch Duke as much as I used to. But I know that he did not get any burn until Rashid Solomon was kicked off the team.
Correct.
He was probably the ninth man on the team. And he hit two ridiculous shots. I mean, he turned the game around. You know, his personal 8-0 run, they were down 9, and then they were down 1, and then you just saw the momentum completely change. But he was... I don't know enough about him to know whether he should leave. You know, unfortunately, as much as we love hosting this radio show, it doesn't exactly pay enough to be a full-time gig at this point.
Agreed. Well, just to back up your claim, the difference between you were talking about Chris Wilcox. Chris Wilcox made about $38 million in his career, but he was out of the NBA by age 30, which you say, wow, right? I mean, he was there a while. He was there 10 years, but he started at age 20. Did he hit his potential? Probably not, but you look at a guy named Dante Green, who – I believe you would know pretty well. I mean, a Syracuse guy as well, came out as got in the first round, but he only lasted 4 years and is already out of the league. He made a total of $5 million. Now, we're talking money, right? So $5 million, you would say, wow, it's $5 million. But let's call it today's debate. This guy probably left after taxes, after agent fees. If his career earnings were $5 million, he probably wound up with close to $1.5 million. Right? Tax accountant, probably.
Not that low. But, yeah, but I see your point.
He loses about half of that to taxes.
maybe 40%. So 40% is 2 million.
No, he'll lose about half of it to taxes, depending on where he was drafted. And then he'll lose another 5% to, yeah, I guess about 40%, about 40 to 45% is right.
So he's making about $2.5 million. Now, granted, he could still go overseas. We never say anything different about that. But if you think of the normal professional earns more than $2.5 million over the course of his career. And he has health insurance. So I understand what you're saying in that Wilcox should have come out. And look, my point is his, and maybe you disagree with me, to me, Grayson Allen's stock will never be higher. I mean, he played the game of basically his life. Now, granted, will he have better games?
No.
If Tyus Jones comes out, is he the point guard next year? Maybe. The full-time point guard. Yeah. But remember, when you play full-time, not only are does your greatness come out, but as we saw with the Harrison twins, your weaknesses come out too.
But there's a significant difference here. Number one, Dante Green is playing in the United Arab Emirates right now.
And probably earning $1 million.
Probably. He's playing for a team called Al Nazar, which I think was the name of the terrorist in Homeland, actually. Anyway, just wanted to throw in that random Showtime, my random cable knowledge. But the difference is, Tyus Jones played an entire season as a starting point guard. People saw Tyus Jones. Grayson Allen and the Harrisons, yeah, they could have come out after first year, but they also played the whole year. Grayson Allen hasn't played anything. So, no, I mean, it wasn't even like he was the sixth man. I don't think he can come out because nobody has any idea of his capability. He wasn't a sixth man. He wasn't a seventh man. He was the 10th man until Solomon got kicked off, and then he became the seventh or eighth man. He had a phenomenal 5 to 6 minute run, and all credit to him for that. But he doesn't, there's not enough there. You know, it's not like he is a 7'4". He's not Ralph Sampson. He's not, you know, whoever, where he, right. There's such a physical thing where it would overwhelm his lack of experience.
Let me ask you, Seth. Hold on a second. So you're saying he got 6 minutes. I'm playing devil's advocate here, okay?
Sure. Okay.
I'm playing devil's advocate. Let's say that the NBA allows you, there's no more one and done. There's just high school, right? You don't need a body of work in college. The guy still has his athletic ability. Why he was recruited where he was. He was a top 50 recruit in the NCAA. So imagine there's no one and done. Imagine he could have gone just straight from high school. His body of work is still there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. His body of work is still there. But it's more of a, you know, it's high school. Comparing yourself as a 6'6 shooting guard to, you know, in my high school league, if you were 6'6, you were center. You know, unless you're a Kobe or a McGrady or a Lee, you know, I don't like the comparison. You may see the athletic ability, but you don't know. You have to have a year to me of if you're going to play college, you're going to have, you know, if you're going to be drafted off of being a college player, you need a year of actually playing college. And he didn't play.
Let's again play devil's advocate. The Harrisons have come out after their high school career, mm-hmm. and would they have been drafted higher than they're going to be drafted this year?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? It's not one of them may not even be drafted. I don't think Andrew's going to even be drafted. So,
yeah.
So you make the claim that it actually hurt them to go to college. It hurt them to come back after the first year. Well, I'm not sure it hurt them. I don't think they're any different than they would have been last year.
Right.
But at the same time, if you draft Grayson after his first year based on the high school body of work and the 6 minutes, you may be getting a better deal for him than if he comes back. Look, I think he's coming back. I don't think he's...
I think he already announced he's coming back.
But
yeah, I think so. I saw it 2 days afterwards, and I got a good laugh. good laugh.
Has Tom Jones announced?
Jones, as far as I know, has not announced, but I'll be honest, the last few days I have not really been following quite as intently as I normally do. So there's a good chance there's a good chance that I missed. I do know that Kentucky lost 8 players from this team. What'd you say?
Who was the 8th? You got...
I don't know. I actually saw 8. I was confused. I thought it was only 7.
Yeah, I thought it was 7 too. We'll look that up, ladies and gentlemen, because I really thought it was 7 players.
Well, that's so surprising to see Justin. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's the other place. The other player I could have thought, but I don't think Poitras went.
Didn't go. Ulis didn't go. Let me see if I can find the article.
Hold on, I got the early entry list. So you got Devin Booker is 1, Cauley Stein is 2, Aaron Harrison's 3, Andrew is 4, Dakari Johnson's 5. Trey Lyles is 6.
Aaron Harris. You forgot. You only said 1 Harrison.
No, I did 2 Harrisons. I said Andrew and Aaron. So let's go through this again. Hold on. Booker is 1. Stein is 2. Both Harrisons, that's 4. Dakari is 5. Trey Lyles is 6. And Towns is 7. There is no 8. And Grayson Allen is going to stay, as is Marcus Lee of Kentucky. And Tyler Ulis of Kentucky as well. There is nothing here about Tyus Jones yet. So I guess we'll see.
I am surprised. Admittedly, I'm surprised that Justin Anderson is leaving. Because Virginia would have probably... Virginia was preseason, pretty much preseason number 1. But again, you know, he's probably a borderline first-round pick, and I'm a big fan of Anderson. Good energy guy, good scorer. Would have been an All-American if he didn't get hurt in January. I think he's borderline first-round, second-round. I think if he got a guarantee, I would say to go. Otherwise, I'm a bit surprised. Although their team should.
To me, Justin Anderson is the perfect 3-and-D guy, right? He is a 3-point shooter. He plays defense. He would be perfect on a team like San Antonio or even the Clippers. Like the Clippers, he would be absolutely perfect on. So if he's getting a middle round guarantee, middle of the first round, which is what I think he'll wind up somewhere around 18-20, he's got to go. I mean, I don't think his stock gets any better. I think if you go through these guys that are turning pro, Cliff Alexander, well, he was going to go because he wasn't going to be eligible, right? Justin Anderson, I don't think his stock gets any better. Brandon Ashley, maybe. Devin Booker, no, his stock is where it is. Pauly Stein, he's not going to get better than 8-10, maybe 5-8. Decker, same thing, right? I mean, you go down these guys, R.J. Hunter out of Georgia State, not going to get any better. I mean, if you look at most of these guys, I think McCullough could have gotten better, but McCullough's coming off a torn ACL, so who knows where he is at the end of the day. Miles Turner, I think, would have been the one guy that could have improved his stock from 7 to maybe 3 or maybe even 1 with another year.
But it's hard to gauge because you don't know what's coming out next year.
Exactly. That's number 1. And number 2 is he's inconsistent. So the same thing that pulls down players, the same thing that builds up players could potentially pull them down. So right now he's 19 and they're drafting him based on his potential. Well, if he comes out next year at 20 and he has another inconsistent season, well, guess what? It's no longer potential, and maybe he's just inconsistent, and he drops. So I totally get it. Okay, it's 7:20. I am going to own up to my end of this bargain right now, and I'm going to sing the Maryland fight song. So let me cue that up for everybody. Let me cue this up. Hold on a second. Let me get the words out so I don't mess this up.
I think I just deleted the words. Hold on. I just deleted the words. Hold on. Let me get them up. Maryland fight song. Believe it or not, I actually had this up earlier just so I would be sure of the words. Here we go. Okay, put this over here. And here we go. Maryland fight song. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Palmer.
We can't hear you.
Wait, you couldn't hear me?
Nope, couldn't hear you.
All right, let's try this again with a little bit lower. Okay. Ireland, we're all behind you. Ring five of black and gold. Nothing else so glorious. SEC, our team victorious. We got the team boys, we got the team boys. We can see you fall fighting, don't give in.
M-A-R-Y-L-A-N-D. Maryland will win.
And there you are.
My man comes through, although I have to admit it was very interesting seeing his voice drop about 3 octaves. It sounded like Barry White.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway.
Well done, sir.
Now that we're done with the college basketball season, at least until the NBA draft, which is the last week in June, which I believe will be, we'll have the wrap-up from Puerto Rico. We'll have the preview the week before. So Seth will have 45 minutes in his day in between getting ready for his wedding to do a preview. But
no, wait. No, the wedding is... Wait, what do you say that again? Oh, next week. We may have
the 29th will be our NBA wrap up from the draft. Draft is that week before.
Oh, that's right. Cool. So I'll be watching it from Puerto Rico on the beach.
There you go. Thursday night.
Can't wait. Yeah, there's a chance in hell I'm going to be allowed to watch that. But okay.
Yeah, we'll see if that works. But in 21 days, we actually have the end. 24 days, we have the NFL draft, so that's to look forward to. But coming up next week, actually this week, is our NHL playoff predictions. So we tried to get Sir Keegan Reid on. He's somewhere in Canada without a signal. So seems like everywhere in Canada doesn't have a signal. But anyway, he doesn't have a signal, so we're going to have to step in and do our due diligence and our very best. We made our NHL predictions earlier on in the year. I don't think either one of us was all that well off, but we'll make them again.
You mean you didn't take the Bruins to miss the playoffs? Man, where are you coming from?
I don't believe I took the Bruins to miss the playoffs. I definitely picked the Rangers to be in first, though. So I got that one right. And speaking of the Rangers, they're going to go against the Penguins in the first round, starting on Thursday in New York. The Penguins sneaking in after losing to the Islanders 3-1 on Friday night, pretty much backing into the playoffs, not looking all that good to me. I know you haven't followed all that much due to your workload, but the Rangers look like they are the team to beat, no question about it, from the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it does seem that way. But I got to imagine, as much as Pittsburgh has struggled this year, that's still not the team you would want to play in the first round. They're still so scary on the offensive end. They still have the best player in the league for all intents and purposes in Sidney Crosby. I mean, the Rangers will obviously be the big favorite, but it's not. I don't think it's a game either side is overwhelmingly comfortable with.
Well, I'd agree with that. I mean,
it's funny because one of the general managers in the Western Conference says there can't be upsets in the NHL playoffs because everybody is good. There's no real dominant team this year on either side. But yeah, the Rangers won the President's Trophy, but if you look 5 weeks ago, the Islanders were in first place overall, and Pittsburgh was second, and now the Islanders are in fourth, fifth, and Pittsburgh's in eighth. So, I mean, there hasn't been a dominant team throughout the year. I'm still going to go with the Rangers over Pittsburgh. I'm going to give them six games, and they're going to beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. The loss of Chris Letang, who had a seizure or a stroke earlier in the year and hasn't been able to return, is a big deal, at least in this. And the Rangers are playing very, very well. Even when Lundqvist is out, Cam Talbot was able to take over the reins and goal. I think this is a six-game series.
Yeah, I mean, I would favor the Rangers as well for what it's worth. I think five or six seems about right. The Rangers have been the best team in the conference all year, although Montreal's and Tampa have certainly given them a pretty good run. But it's a series, if you want to go back to the Stanley Cup Finals, it's a series you should win. Pretty simple.
Absolutely. So, and now we go to the Battle of Canada. Montreal plays Ottawa. And I think I said this numerous times before, both on the show and off. The one team I don't want to face in this Stanley Cup playoffs is Montreal. You never want to face the best goalie. And Carey Price has been unbelievable. I know you said you're facing Pittsburgh may have the best player in the league. Not this year. I agree with what you're saying. He's probably the best player, but not the best goalie. Carey Price, MVP season, best player hands down in this league. And I'm generally opposed to giving the goalie the most valuable player. It's kind of like in baseball, right, where you have a pitcher's award.
You give the pitcher the MVP. Yeah.
You give the pitcher an MVP. However, the pitcher has won a couple of MVPs, right? So everything has to go right for the pitcher to win the MVP. The pitcher has to have an unbelievable season, like off-the-radar season. And no regular position player has to have a great year. Well, when the NHL lead in points is 83 or 84, Jamie Benn led the league in points with 84. And the only reason he led the league in points with 84 is he had 21 points in his last 13 games, which is ridiculous. That, to me, sets up the perfect storm for a goaltender to win the most valuable player. I think that happens. So I think Carey Smith wins the Hart, and I think Montreal sweeps them in four.
I think Montreal does cruise through. I'm trying to think of if there's even another goalie you put in it. I mean, maybe Pekka Rinne, but again, I probably wouldn't put him. Probably not. It's Price. It's John Tavares. Maybe a Jonathan Taves in Chicago, but yeah, I mean, Price, I think, is the favorite.
Ladies and gentlemen,
and
yes, you
know Montreal cruising.
You know he's not a hockey fan when he can't pronounce Jonathan Taves.
Did I say Taves? Oh, I said Taves. Yeah, that's more to exhaustion than anything else. So anyway.
So you're picking Montreal in how many?
Montreal in five.
Okay. Tampa Bay goes against the Red Wings in one of the more interesting matches to me. Detroit gets into the playoffs for, I believe, it's the 25th year. 25 consecutive years. Now, I get it that almost everybody in the NHL makes the playoffs. They have 16 teams out of 30 make the playoffs. So it's more likely that you make the playoffs than if you don't make the playoffs. But the same holds true in the NBA, right? And to the same degree, a lot of teams make it in football. Not a lot of teams make it in baseball, but a lot of teams make it in football. 25 straight years of going to the playoffs. That's pretty incredible, Seth.
Yeah, I think actually the old record was the St. Louis Blues, ironically, a team that never won the Cup. I think they made it about 21, 22 straight years. Detroit, you know, they just plug along. Obviously not as talented now as they have been in previous years, and certainly they're no longer a dynasty by any stretch of the imagination. But any team with Pavel Datsyuk is not a team to be taken lightly. And Tampa with Steven Stamkos had a really, I think it was a bit of a surprise how much of an upgrade, how much they improved this year. It's a good series.
Agreed. Detroit is definitely the older of the teams, although they definitely have put in some youth with Nicholas Cronwell and a couple along the blue line is a little bit younger than it has been in the past. They're going to miss Eric Cole, who was hurt and will be out for the rest of the season. Tampa Bay is just an infusion of the youth. I mean, their whole team is probably 18, 19, 20 years old. They got rid of the Vincent LeCavaliers, and I believe Stamkos is probably the second or third oldest player, and he's like 26. They imported Brian Campbell and Willie Mitchell. But other than that, they are a young team. They are a very fast team. Now, the difference between regular season hockey and postseason hockey is just like basketball, right? You can run during regular season hockey. Running during, or skating, whatever, you can move fast. You can go fast, but going fast during the playoffs is a little bit different. I'm going to take Detroit here, even though they are the underdog. And I'm going to take them in six games, winning in Detroit.
I'm going to stick with the youth. Down in Tampa. The youth.
What's
the two youths.
What's the youth?
Did he say youth? I'm going to stick with the youth down in Tampa in seven.
Okay. Now, to the series that is very near and dear to my heart. The Islanders are back in the playoffs. Yay. They had a chance of getting home ice advantage on Saturday. Did they win? No. They blew it. So, this is a team that cannot enjoy success. It just seems like every time they have a lead, they give it up. Every time they have the puck going in the right direction, they have their foot on the gas pedal, and they start scoring, they let it up. They just don't have that killer instinct yet. And unfortunately, it cost them in the last game in the Old Barn, which I was present at on Saturday with my brothers. It cost them home ice advantage. And because of that, to me, that'll cost them the series. I'm giving Washington, and they're going to win in the final game of the National Coliseum. They win in six games. Unfortunately, they win on New York ice.
I have a little bit more faith in your players, in your boys than you do.
Also,
considering what Washington has done in the playoffs over the last 10 years, 15 years, consistent disappointment, consistent downgrade. Yes, Ovechkin leads the league in goals again. Yes, he's been a little bit better of a two-way player this year. Brandon Halby is solid goaltender. I like motion, and the Islanders leaving Long Island, moving to the Barclays Center in Brooklyn next year. I'd like them to pull one series out at least. I think they'd beat Washington in six.
Wow, and they win at the Barn. I love your style. I do, because I've always said if they make that second round, I'll be at one of the games. Maybe you will be too, considering, hell, you won't be busy. So, okay, moving to the West Coast, Western Conference. The Anaheim Ducks versus the Winnipeg Jets. If you had told me at the beginning of the year, and you had told Keegan Reed at the beginning of the year, that the Winnipeg Jets would be in the playoffs, all of us would just shake our heads and go, you got to be traded. So they traded their best player in Evander Kane. They got a couple of good veterans back, but some really good youth back, which they were hoping to parlay next year. Well, that timeline didn't work, and they made the playoffs. So here they are playing the Anaheim Ducks, the one seed versus the eight, and they start on Thursday in Anaheim. None of us will watch any of these games because they all start at like 10:30 at night, but I don't see the Jets getting by at all. I have Anaheim in five. Now, for those that do not know the playoff series in hockey, Pesci goes 2-2-1-1-1 instead of 2-3-2. So I have them winning in five games in Anaheim. I think Winnipeg takes one.
I kind of feel the same way. It's not a series I'm going to probably pay too much attention to. Anaheim has obviously underachieved over the years, but they've been incredibly solid this year. I think they go through. I think both the 7 and 8 seeds are, Winnipeg and the Calgary Flames are happy to be there. And incredible accomplishment by both teams, beating out the Kings, yes, the defending champions for the last playoff spot.
Okay, so you have St. Louis and the Minnesota Wild, and the Minnesota Wild are an interesting story. They started their year horrendously. I mean, horrendously, because they got awful goaltending. Then they acquired Devin Dubnyk, who was the starter with Edmonton last year. Did okay. Moved on to Phoenix. Did okay. This year, he didn't start with Phoenix because they had Mike Smith. But Dubnyk was traded to the Wild, and he started, I believe it was 38 straight games for the Wild, in which he went 36-14-1 with a 2.07 goals against and the 93% save percentage. If it's not Carey Price as the MVP, this guy's the MVP. You don't start 39 straight games in the NHL. That being said, they now have to face the St. Louis Blues, who may be the most underrated team in this playoffs. I still like the Wild, even with Dubnyk being a little tired. I think it hits them in the second round, not the first. I'm taking them in six games.
Well, the Blues, I think this is the year that the Blues seem to kind of break that. It seems like every year they have they've become almost like the latter-day San Jose Sharks, where they just have that, they just can't get past the first round. They have a great regular season. I'm not going to bet against them. As good as he has been, as the Minnesota goaltender has been, St. Louis is just a solid team, led by Vladimir Tarasenko, and I like them in five.
Wow, five games. Okay, and moving on to the next is Nashville versus Chicago. So Chicago getting Patrick Kane back, which is huge to go with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Sharp and Duncan Keith and Corey Crawford. Nashville has the best goalie in the league, besides Carey Price in Penerike. They have the best defenseman in the league with Shea Weber.
Isn't it Pecorino? Isn't it Penerike?
I said Pecorino.
Don't you?
Pecorino.
Well, you can Pecorino. Pecorino.
So
don't you think a hockey fan should know this?
Now you can make fun of me. Fantastic. Pecorino. Pecorino.
No, that's the Macarena. Jesus Christ.
Macarena. I'm dancing.
Nobody wants to see you dance.
I'm going to take Nashville in seven. I think it takes a little bit of time for Patrick Kane to come back. I don't think he's back all the way. He definitely doesn't have his stamina up from the separated shoulder. This is the year that Chicago goes down a little bit, feeling the losses of the depth that they were not able to maintain due to salary cap restrictions. Nashville moves on in seven. They play at home. That seventh game is a big one for them.
This, to me, is the best series of the first round. This could be a Western Conference championship series. As you said, Nashville led by the best goalie in their conference. Chicago led probably by the best captain in hockey, Jonathan Toews, and obviously Patrick Kane coming back. I agree with you. I get the feeling it's going to be, with the Kings out, the Bruins out, it's kind of a year where Chicago struggling obviously a bit. It's an up-in-the-air year, and I think this kind of confirms it, and I'll go with Nashville in seven as well.
Okay, and it's funny. There are five. That totally goes against it. I was going to say there are four Canadian teams and they all play each other, but that's not true because I forgot about Winnipeg. But Winnipeg doesn't count. They're the Atlanta Thrashers. Vancouver plays Calgary, and you're right. Calgary is just happy to be there. But I'll tell you, if anybody told me Vancouver was going to take that one seed at the beginning of the year, the two seed, I would have called you crazy because that was a team that was supposed to be in rebuild. They had a couple of good players but in the Sedins, but they traded away Ryan Kessler. They traded away Roberto Luongo. They traded away Corey Snyder. So you thought, hey, this team can't win. But then they go out and they sign Ryan Miller to a big three-year, $18 million contract, and they fill the needs. And you know what? Willie Desjardins, who is their coach, rookie coach, my pick for coach of the year, hands down pick for coach of the year. This team should not be number two. I'd like to pick Calgary because I don't think Vancouver has the horses, but Calgary doesn't even have the mules. So I'm not picking Calgary. I'm picking Vancouver to sweep them in four. It's the only sweep that I'm picking. They win in Calgary. And part of it to me is that there is no part of the problem with the NHL is that there's travel problems because you play 2-2, 1-1, 1. If you look at these games, there are no travel problems. You got the Rangers in Pittsburgh, Montreal and Ottawa, Tampa Bay and Detroit. I think that may be the longest one. New York and Washington, Anaheim and Winnipeg. That may be pretty long. St. Louis and Minnesota, maybe. Nashville and Chicago, and Vancouver and Calgary. I mean, none of them are really that long. I have Vancouver beating them in four.
The problem, as we've said many times before, Joey Nieuwendyk ain't walking through that door. Mike Vernon ain't walking through that door. This is not 1990, or 90, I guess 88. You know, it's nice to see Calgary back and relevant. If you told either of us before the beginning of the year, we thought they would be in the Connor McDavid sweepstakes, not beating out San Jose and the Kings, which just blows my mind. I agree, Vancouver. It should be a pretty easy series for Vancouver. I have them in five. I think Calgary will win one. Will win one at home.
So you don't have. So you have one sweep, right? You have St. Louis beating Minnesota in a sweep.
Is that what I said? Yeah, I think so. I think that's what I said. Yeah.
That's the only sweep you have. Okay. I mean, look, the NHL playoffs start this Wednesday and continue until like June 15th. So if you don't catch a game this week, you'll catch one in the next 2 months. Because the only thing that goes longer than the NHL season is the baseball season.
The NBA. I was going to say the NBA playoffs.
Well, that's
true. The Major League Baseball, well, I guess it started. You can feel you can hear the excitement in my voice. Woohoo!
Well, I mean, you know, you're not really an NHL guy to begin with, so I don't give you much credence in this, but I get what you're saying. It just laughs and laughs and laughs. Let me ask you something.
No, I was saying I was doing a woohoo about baseball, not about the NHL playoffs.
Okay. So I was looking the other day, and one of my friends asked me this very simple question. And I'm segueing over to the NBA because I think the NHL has pretty much taken its course. My friend asked me, how many games below 500 do you believe the New York Knicks are? Now, Seth, I will ask you the same question. How many games below 500 do you believe the New York Knicks are?
42. They're 18-60, aren't they? Something like that.
They're 16-64. They are 48 games below 500.
Is that how it works, or is it half of that?
No.
The 24 games.
Oh, you're right. They're 24 games below 500. You're right. They're 44 games out of first place. They've lost 48 games more than they've won. That's basically what I'm saying. No, 500 would be 16-16. So they are 48 games below 500. You take the wins and you equal it with the losses, and then you minus the rest of the losses. So they're 48 games below 500.
I'm too tired to know if that's actually correct or not.
I believe.
But anyway,
48 games.
And the only problem is Minnesota's also 48 games. So the Knicks, doing their best tank job, may not even get the first pick in the draft. Minnesota, 60-64. The Knicks, 60-64. Why? Because they won their last game. If you're going to tank, just tank already. Who'd they beat? Oh, they beat Orlando, 80-79. Really? Come on. You can't even do that right.
And I think the most impressive thing about that game was I think there was a quarter where both teams combined for like 15 points.
Yeah.
Hard to imagine that's the NBA. And I'm not sure tank. If you're going to tank, this is really not the season to do it. There, I mean, as we talked about with Jared's Rolling last week, you know, and I've mentioned it, I actually spoke about it with another radio host. There's nobody, you know, you have that 1-5 range, but there's no superstar. There's no LeBron, no Yao Ming, no Dwight Howard. There's no definitive number one. I mean, whether you end up taking D'Angelo Russell or Okafor or Towns, or Emmanuel Mudé or Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, this reminds me a little bit more of the draft 2 or 3 years ago where Anthony Bennett went number one. Well, you had 5 or 6 guys that were legitimately in the running, and Anthony Bennett was barely one of those six. And as his professional career has played out, probably deservedly not one of those six.
Agreed. Look, I think it's a better draft than the Anthony Bennett draft. I think the top guys are better than that draft. But think about it from the Knicks' perspective. They don't have a draft pick next year at all. So they have to do it this year. They gave their draft pick next year to the Toronto Raptors for Andre Bargnani.
Sean, have you ever pronounced names before?
Yeah.
You seem like you're struggling.
Look, I'm a little tongue-tied. I'm a little tired. Believe it or not, it's actually warm in my apartment, which makes no sense because I should just open a window and I haven't thought about it. But look, right after this, it's been a long weekend for me. Not of work, just of hanging out and family time. Family can be exhausting. I'm a little tired. I hate to say it. I did enjoy my family, but they are a little tiring. So Andre Bargnani.
I can see that.
At least I got the name right. I just couldn't think of it. Andre Bargnani cost them a first-round pick next year. So if you think about it that way, the Knicks can't tank in any other year but this year. They better do it well. They'll probably wind up with Towns or Okafor. And then you see what you get. And the rumor is that they have a deal or will have a deal with Greg Monroe. And you kind of say, huh. Didn't Greg Monroe kind of go through this already with a guy named Andre Drummond? Didn't work out too well. But, hey, I'm not Phil Jackson. I don't have like 25 rings. But at least I know it didn't work in Detroit.
Now, as we said, the NBA draft will be, the preview will be the week before my wedding. The review will be on the beach. One of our tougher shows with probably a lot of guest stars jumping in.
Absolutely. So it's just been a lot. And then baseball season starts, right? So at least I have the Mets to root for. But then again, the last time I said, hey, the Islanders are doing well. Thank you so much to the Islanders for doing well. They started tanking. So your Mets, you suck. You keep doing horribly. Maybe I'll win a wild card. It's like Harvey and DeGrom and pray for rain. That's what I feel like.
Wow. You're comparing them to the 1948 Milwaukee Braves?
I think it was the 58, wasn't it? No, you're right.
Maybe it is.
Spawn insane and pray for rain.
Spawn insane and 3 days of rain. But don't you have all these other pitchers? Dylan G and Nice and all these other guys?
So
Syndergaard and
hold on, I'm looking at the Spawn Insane and Pray for Rain. When was this? It was Pray for Rain. It was in 1948. You are correct. Well done, sir.
And thank you. And for those of you who are wondering, this was not planned and I did not look it up.
According to the Baseball Almanac, the original doggerel appears in Hearn's column, being, looking at who Hearn's is. Oh, Gerald Hearn's poem in the Boston Post on September 14, 1948. First we'll use spawn, then we'll use sane, then an off day followed by rain. Back comes spawn, followed by sane, and followed, we hope, by 2 days of rain. That's pretty awesome.
And of course, in those days, it was the 2 days of rain, not 3 days, because
right.
You didn't have 5 days. You didn't have five man pitching staffs in those days.
That's correct. Now you just have way too many pitchers, too many Tommy John surgeries, and one Mashiro Tanaka, who, again, did not pitch well yesterday or 2 days ago. Amongst the 19-inning game between the Yankees and the Red Sox. Now, let me ask you, Seth, don't we have enough Yankees-Red Sox games that they don't have to go 19 innings?
Well, according to ESPN, I think we have one every single week.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying.
But luckily for me, since I've been working 16 hours a day, I haven't had to see anything along those lines. Because baseball does not exist to me yet. Oh, although I was offered free tickets on Thursday. And
yeah,
just
yeah, but Seth, you got offered free tickets to A, the Yankees, B, a night game, C, it was 35 degrees, and D, it was raining.
So well, A and B is not an issue. C and D is kind of a problem.
Even if you didn't have to work, I wouldn't be going to that game.
No real response on my end.
No, not really, because maybe, just maybe, the Mets outdo the Yankees this year. That's my hope.
I would think they do.
Well, as long as A-Rod plays 80 games, we will. Because it's funny because you have a catcher that can't catch. You have a third baseman that can't play third. You have a first baseman that can't play first. You have a second baseman that can't play second. You have a shortstop playing, well, no, you have a third baseman playing short. This is like who's on first. You have the only positions that are legitimately defensively oriented are shortstop with Didi Gregorius, center field with Jacoby, and third base with Chase Headley. Everybody else is below average defensively, too. So not only are you below average offensively, but you're below average defensively, too. And you don't have a strikeout pitching staff. So, we'll see what happens. But it's going to be a long run for that team. And I don't mean long into the play.
I only have one question. Is it college football season yet?
I don't know if it's college football season because I just still don't have an athletic director. So I don't know if my coach is going to be he's still going to be there. I don't know if there's going to be transfers. And you know what? We're probably only going to win 5 games anyway. So what difference does it make to me? My take is it college? You should be asking if it's college basketball season yet with Diamond Stone.
Yeah. And with Virginia now dropping a little bit. Due to Justin Anderson leaving. You know, we are legitimately a top 3 to 5 team, potentially as high as number 1 preseason. Robert Carter.
Did you say number
1? Huh? Everyone except us.
Did you just
yes,
say
I said
1?
Arguably? Yeah.
Arguably?
We've been top 5. We're top 5 preseason in every poll. Every poll. Virginia was. There we go.
Sing it, Jeff. Oh, man.
whistling is worse than your singing. Anyway, five on the show. I'll go first, and then I'll let Seth finish it off. Now that we got his prediction of number one in the country, which I don't know where that came. Anyway, so I got the Marilyn song going. Oh, well. But, so anyway, speaking of Maryland, well, not really, but speaking of the Washington Capitals who come to the Old Barn, like I said before, I was at the game on Saturday at the Old Barn with my two brothers, where we grew up. We basically grew up in Nassau Coliseum, going to 2 to 3 games a week. We were very lucky. I mean, we were very fortunate kids to having the ability to do that and the privilege to do that. And I never forget that some people, whenever they say they've never been to a pro game, I have to think back as to how privileged I really was. All that started with my grandfather. And as you all know, my grandfather passed away in early February. And it's funny, I was at the game with my two brothers, just like I was about 30 years ago. And the only thing I was missing was him. He would have loved that stadium and how rocking it was. And he called it a garbage dump, too, half the time. But he would have loved it. And, Grandpa, miss you. And hopefully the Isles, you know what, they benefit from Seth Kamen's wisdom. They win a series, and I get to go back to the Old Barn. Although, if I never do again, and I never have the opportunity to see the Islanders in the Barn again, I ended it on a good note. Even with the loss, I ended it the way it should have been ended, with the family all together. So I'll thank you, Gramps, and thank the Islanders, too. Seth, you're up.
Kind of following in that theme, one of our biggest supporters of pretty much since the outset, one of our good friends, Jess Fink, I don't think we mentioned this last week, unfortunately, her sister, who's been sick for a pretty long time, finally succumbed to cancer, and unfortunately, she was the funeral was in, I believe, was in Baltimore, and the family's been out in California, so there's not much that Sean and I could particularly do, and with me working 37 hours a day, there's not much I could have done regardless. But I just kind of wanted to, offer publicly our deepest condolences to Jess, to Janice, to Sam, to the whole family, and we're thinking about you, honey, and we love you, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
I think Seth went dead.
Well,
you got about 60 seconds, buddy.
Oh, I don't got too much else. I think that kind of covered.
All right, so
I just memorialized someone. I didn't think there was really much to follow up with that. So.
No, you're absolutely right, and the one thing is we all appreciate you guys every day. And you know what? Stay tuned to more in the next couple of weeks. We'll be having draft previews. We'll be having playoff recaps. We'll be having more and more guests all on the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show. For Seth Kamen, this has been Sean Palmer. Thank you very much for listening, and have yourselves a great week.
Good night, everybody.